gathered up an empty eye, empty spaces where there used to be a soul inside. Nothing and no one ever gets to them. Seems the wind could blow right through them. Believing in gods that never knew them. I believe in love. I believe in love. I do. I believe in feeling good. I'm feeling love.
Love is feeling good.
And I believe in love.
Feeling love is feeling good.
Worry. Climbing up your money tree, you got to hide it. Monkey do what the monkey see. You're on a one-way street and you're speeding. Missing the signs you should be reading. Past some things you'll later be needing. I believe in love.
What?
I believe it. Nobody sold me. Always knew it. Nobody told me. I believe in someone to hold me. I believe in love.
Feeling good,
I believe in love.
Feeling love is feeling good, I believe in love.
Feeling love is feeling good,
I believe in love.
Bed. He left me only just a place to rest my head. But I don't want to find myself one day waking up and looking at Monday with some what's his name left from Sunday. I believe in love. I believe it. Nobody sold me. Always knew it. Nobody told me. I believe in someone to hold me. I believe in love. I believe in love. I do.
Welcome those that are live streaming today. Thank you for joining us. And all of you beautiful people. And happy Mother's Day. Happy Divine Feminine Day.
I did.
We have a few announcements today about the many things that are going on at Unity Minneapolis. But first of all, I just want to say that Reverend Pat has taken the day off today. And so we see him having a wonderful time off. And we have a big weekend coming up next weekend, Saturday and Sunday, with Dr. David Banner. Check your insert for complete details. Dr. Banner returns to Unity Minneapolis for a weekend focusing on the Enneagram. So this is an opportunity you don't want to miss. And then Mysteries of John in the Bible is starting Tuesday the 12th at 7 p.m. So check your inserts for that. Metaphysical interpretation of the mysteries of John. Yeah. And then we have a wonderful surprise announcement. If I could invite you up, Gloria.
I don't know what the surprise is, but how many of you are gardeners? How many of you love plants and flowers and beauty? Great. You know that one of the joys of being a gardener is being able to share your plants with your neighbor or community. And it's another way of us sharing our abundance. And we invite you all to bring any of the plants you're dividing this year to help beautify our unity, your unity gardens. Beginning today through May 22nd, You may bring plants labeled with the color, the name, if you know the name, whether it's sun or shade. That will help us out as far as where to plant things. Have that taped to the pot or a note with the pot. Place them near the patio, outside, upstairs. It will be for our annual planting day, which is May 23rd. So through now to May 22nd, bring your plants. You may bring them during the week and just leave them up top, and we'll take care of them. You don't have to wait till just Sunday. Now, for those of you that aren't gardeners or don't consider yourself a gardener, you know where the nursery stores are, and we welcome plants from the nursery as well. But more importantly, we would want you to visit our gardens, because they're really your gardens, and see the peaceful, beautiful environment that's being created. So look forward to receiving your plants and contributions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. There are many other events and classes being held at Unity Minneapolis, so please check your bulletin, the garden court, and our website. And if you don't find an answer to something specific, give us a buzz at the office between Sunday and Thursday. So if you have your cell phone or your electronic device, if you could please silence them, and if you feel called to do so, check in on Facebook and let them know where you're at, and let them know that they are welcome here, no matter where they are on their spiritual journey. Thank you. So let's begin our service with prayer. Wow, let's just take in a breath. We thank you, Spirit. Thank you, Mother, Father, God. Thank you for this glorious, glorious, divine, feminine day, this happy Mother's Day. We thank you for your love. We thank you for this spiritual community and everyone that is a part of it. And for this we say, thank you, God. So it is. Amen. So we begin our services by affirming together our affirmations found in your bulletin. If we could start with our mission statement. We are an inclusive and welcoming spiritual community, transforming lives as we celebrate, honor, and affirm the divine presence in every person. And our vision statement, we are a vibrant, loving, prosperous spiritual community. We invite all to be partners in the worldwide expansion of spiritual understanding and consciousness. And today's affirmation, I am worthy of love and fulfillment. And I invite our on-duty prayer chaplains to please stand. Thank you. These individuals arrived early today to hold sacred space for us. And should you have a desire to pray for joy, concern, celebration, please seek one of them out. They will listen with the ears of their heart and hold it in strict confidentiality. I assure you, it'll be a joy for them as well as for you. Thank you. So let's stand for our opening song, Sacred Love. The words are printed in your bulletin. Thanks.
You are sacred love, God. Sacred love is all that you are.
Sing sacred love again.
You are sacred love. Sacred love is all that you are. You are sacred love, God. Sacred love is all that you are. Show the way, God, show. A state of grace. Lead the way, God, lead the way. I want to live in such a holy place. Such a holy place.
a holy place. Such a holy place. You are deepest joy. Deepest joy is all that you are. You are deepest joy. Deepest joy is all that you are.
Show me the way.
Show the way, God, show the way. I want to live in such a state of grace. Lead the way, God, lead the way. I want to live in such a holy place. Such a holy place. You are sacred love. Sacred love is all that you are. You are sacred love, God. Sacred love is all that you are. Sacred love is all that you are. Sacred love is all that you are.
Good morning, and please be seated. Happy Mother's Day. What a beautiful, amazing day. Thank you for choosing to be here with us as we honor and celebrate this day. We would like to honor and celebrate those of you who are here with us for the first time. If this is your first time in Sunday service here at Unity Minneapolis, if you would, as Reverend Pat would say if he were here, put the courage in your hand and join me in raising your hand so that we can truly acknowledge and honor and bless you. Anyone, first time? Yay! You're being given a packet, and in that purple packet you will find a pink card that if you fill out any portion of that card and turn it in the bookstore, we have a gift for you to pick up and take home with you. The rose is a gift from our congregation so that we could truly acknowledge and honor your presence and know the love that is flowing to you in gratitude for your being here with us this day. And if you hear anything here this morning, we hope it's this. You heard Reverend Jeanette say it once already, but truly hear it with your heart. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are welcome here. Join me in greeting our guest. Yay. If we could also now please stand and greet each other. We do that with a handshake, with a hug, with a namaste. Please, as always, ask before you hug. If you didn't find the person that you wanted to connect with, please, by all means, join with them in Fellowship Hall after the service for conversation and coffee. And since you're all sitting, I'm just going to say, let's stay seated for this song as we join together and sing, O Mother God.
O Mother God. Flowing through our hearts, we give thanks for the bread of our lives, for the hands of the earth and the fruit of your womb. O Mother God, blessed be. O Mother God, blessed be.
Sing that verse again.
O Mother God, flowing through our hearts, we give thanks for the bread of our lives, for the hands in the earth and the fruit of your womb. O Mother God, blessed be. O Mother God, blessed be. O Mother God,
wash over me, and this joy in my heart I will share with the world. Oh Mother God, blessed be. Oh Mother God, blessed be.
Verse again.
Oh Mother God, flowing through our hearts, we give thanks for the bread of our lives, for the hands in the earth and the fruit of your womb. Oh Mother God, blessed be. Oh Mother God, blessed be.
We now move deeper into spirit with the reading of the daily word and the singing of Surely the Presence. As the usher brings down the prayer box, you are invited to mentally add your prayers to the box. Your prayers are then prayed with by our prayer ministry for 7 days, and then they are forwarded to Silent Unity, where they are prayed with for an additional 30 days. The word for today is Mother's Blessings. We affirm, I am a gracious giver and receiver of motherly love. Today, I celebrate mothers everywhere. Biological mothers, adoptive mothers, and my mother. Women who are trailblazers, caregivers, mentors, and mothers to the masses. I celebrate Mother Nature in all her glory, and the divine feminine as part of me. Motherly spiritual qualities contribute to peace, healing, and joy in the world and in my life. I take a moment to reflect on a time when I comforted a child. Perhaps I listened, hugged, or shared encouraging words. I call to mind memories of when I felt nurtured, held, or lifted up by someone else. The act of mothering is so important. I'm grateful for feminine spiritual qualities enriching my life and the lives of family and friends. And scripture tells us in Genesis 17:16, I will bless her and she will give rise to nations. The word for today is mother's blessings.
Concentrate on the breath. The breath is God. God is love. as you relax, focus your awareness on your breathing. Each time you breathe, know that you are breathing in the love of God. And feel the love penetrate your whole body, your whole being. Your heart is filled with the love of the divine. Every cell of your body is the love of God. Jesus said, "By this shall we know we are the disciples of God, if we have love for one another." Divine love loves for the sake of loving. We know divine love will bring our own to us. Love will make your life and affairs healthy, harmonious, and free. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. Let us rest in the silence, in that divine love that is ours. Return to this space and time. We know we can return at any time and relax. Relax in the love of Spirit. And so it is, and so we let it be. Amen.
I've heard it said that people come into our lives for a reason, bringing something we must learn, and we are led by those who help us most to grow if we let them, and we help them in return. Well, I don't know if I believe that's true, but I know I'm who I am today because I knew you. Like a comet pulled from orbit as it passes the sun, like a stream that meets a boulder halfway through the wood. Who can say if I've been changed for the better? But because I knew you, I have been changed for good. It well may be that we will never meet again in this lifetime. So let me say before we part, so much of me is made of what I learned from you. You'll be with me like a handprint on my heart. Now whatever way our stories end, I know you have rewritten mine by being my friend. Like a ship blown from its mooring by the wind the sea, like a seed dropped by a skybird in a distant wood. Well, who can say if I've been changed for the better? But because I knew you, because I knew you, I have been changed for good. Well, just to clear the air, okay, I ask forgiveness for the things I've done you blame me for. Then I guess we know there's blame to share.
Hey!
And none of us seems to matter anymore. As it passes the sun, like a stream dropped by a spider halfway in through a distant wood. Who can say if I've been changed for the better?
Hey,
I do believe I have been changed for the better. And because I knew you, because I knew you, because I knew you, I have been changed for.
Because we know Lori and Judy, we have been changed for good. And what about this change? We have space on the platform. You have your own space. This is going to be a fun experience this summer. And I can't comment on what's going on up here without absolutely adoring our decor team. Yay. So when we began this series on working with the law a few weeks ago, I talked about law being the jewel, that we were seeking to get to know many facets of this jewel. And some of the facets that we've looked at were the law of being, the law of enfoldment, the law of attraction, the law of faith, and we've looked at a few others in the Monday evening class. Yet it seems very fitting that today, on Mother's Day, we would be looking at the law of love, at working with this law. Now, before I get into that too much, I really want to acknowledge that for some of us, memories of our mother or the experience of motherhood are not healthy or happy ones. Maybe we didn't have the very best experiences, the very best circumstances, or our relationships were not a bed of roses. It wasn't a primrose path. There's all sorts of words that I could use to put to that. And you may not feel like there's a reason for celebrating today. Well, I'm very grateful that you chose to be with us here this morning anyway, or you chose to join us online anyway. And with all of those qualifications, you might be asking, so why celebrate Mother's Day? Why talk about Mother's Day if some of us aren't going to be in that energy of celebration? And here's my answer. Because as life experiences may not always unfold as perfectly as we'd hope, what we're talking about is a beautiful idea. The very essence of life is what we are celebrating today. You know, motherhood is a constant demand for the gift of love. It's about truly claiming and experiencing the creative power of God. And as we look at some of the various facets of this jewel of truth that we've been studying, I will say that this is what I would consider to be the most essential facet, the most essential aspect of that jewel. And it takes working with and understanding the law of love for any of this that we're talking about to become a way of life. Because without it, everything stays in our head. Without it, we get in our own way. We turn off the ability to live in alignment with capital T truth. And sometimes we have experiences like what I had this past week. My mom, happy Mother's Day, Mom, if you're watching. My mom was in extreme pain this week due to a hip replacement that had happened 4 years ago that had some challenges. And instead of seeing the jewel of truth in that experience, all I could see was coal. All I could see was coal. I knew that there's a jewel there, and it needed some work. And so what kind of work did I do? I reached out. I reached out to others in my life who I know understand this law of love and that could hold that love, that could lift up me, that could lift up my mother, that could lift up the doctors and nurses, that could truly hold that truth that we know is already active in our lives. And that lifted me up so that I could hold that for my mother. You know, Paul, in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, says something to the effect of, and this is paraphrasing a little bit, even if you do all these things, if you have not love, you are nothing. Paul doesn't say, you know, without love, life might be a little bit difficult, but you'll get through it. No, that's not what he says at all. He says, without love, you are nothing. And Jesus says again and again in the Gospels, love one another. The gospel in one word is love. That's the law of the land, love. And in many Christian traditions today, they are celebrating motherhood by celebrating Mary. And Mary knew when she began her journey, when the angel came to her, she said yes, she knew that it was not going to be an easy experience. And yet she agreed. She agreed because she knew that the suspicion and shame of her pregnancy and what that would bring upon her was not what it was all about, that it was truly about love. And being an unwed mother in that day and age wasn't any easier than it is now, and probably a whole lot harder. Charles Fillmore, the co-founder of Unity, says this about Mary in his Metaphysical Bible Dictionary. He says that she signifies the divine motherhood of love, that willing to go through all that was necessary in the consciousness of the soul for the Christ nature to be born and nurtured into full expression. That's what Mary was willing to do, to allow the Christ nature to be born into its full expression. And her great legacy is a legacy of love. So that's Mary. I want to also bring another woman into this conversation, this celebration today. In Unity, we honor Myrtle Fillmore, who is considered to be the mother of Unity. Hers is also a great legacy of love. And we have a lot that we can learn from her. So I thought maybe it would be good to share some of her story. Now, we'll hear more of her story probably in the month of June when we're talking about spiritual healing. But she is an amazing woman. So let me give you some information about her. Myrtle Fillmore was born Mary Carolyn Page. That was her birth name. And she was born on August 6th, 1845 in Pagetown, Ohio. She was the eighth of nine children. Myrtle is the nickname that her father gave her because she loved the trees, and that became who she was. Her family was Methodist, and even as a child, Myrtle was passionately in love with God and with nature. Myrtle and her older sister both had definite ideas of God that might not have been in alignment with their teaching, because they did not include God as a punishing tyrant. However, Myrtle, unlike her sister, was very quiet about her own beliefs. And as a child, she was considered very frail and very sick, an energy that she carried with her into adulthood because she had been told that she inherited tuberculosis. And because of this, she was not allowed to play with other children. She was not allowed to be a child. And she began to be known for reading everything she could get her hands on. She had an insatiable curiosity. And she would steal her brother's books and go outside and sit under the tree and read everything that she could find. She also had a passion for exploring nature, for exploring the world around her. And although most colleges in her day and age were not open to women, Myrtle did attend the one-year literary course for ladies at Oberlin College. She became a very much beloved teacher. And then she moved to Missouri with her family. No, in Missouri is where she was doing her teaching. I had to get that straight in my head. And then she moved to Denison, Texas, because that was a resort town, and it was known for its clean and clear air, and that the thought was that that might help her in a health way. And there she started a private school for girls. Actually, it was for both girls and boys in Denison. And she joined the Denison Literary Club, and that's where she met Charles. The first time Myrtle stood up to read a poem that she had written, Charles was there, and Charles heard this in his head: "There's your wife." Now, Myrtle eventually closed that school and returned to Missouri, and Charles followed the gold rush into Colorado. So they didn't get married right away, but they stayed in correspondence. Some of their correspondence you can read at the archives at Unity. It's pretty amazing. And eventually they did get married. They were married in March of 1851, and they together headed west, even further into Colorado. By this time, Charles was selling real estate, and they found themselves moving from one boom town to the next. They were building their prosperity, and they were quite prosperous, but their health was not very good. Then one day, Charles had a dream. And in this dream, he heard the words, he was told, you have a great work in Kansas City. And so they hit the road. They headed to Kansas City. There's still some streets and areas of Kansas City that are named after the Fillmores that he developed. However, Myrtle's health was really continuing to decline. And the doctors told her she had 6 months to live. And they continued to seek out every means they could to support her in a different outcome. They read books, they went to doctors, they went to healers, they studied teachers, and they went to a lecture by a gentleman named E.B. Weeks. And that lecture is where she heard the words, "You are a child of God, therefore you do not inherit illness." And she heard that. She heard that at a very deep level, and I know we'll talk about more of her process and what she did with that new awareness in the month of June when we talk about the power of spiritual healing. But what I want you to get is that within 2 years, Myrtle Fillmore had transformed the consciousness of illness into a consciousness of love. She completely transformed it. Not only was she healed, she was more physically alive than she had ever been in her life. And seeing that change in Myrtle's health really got Charles interested. And then he started watching the difference that it was having with the neighbors, because all of these people started coming to Myrtle for prayer. And she started sharing this energy of love because she was in the flow of love. And Charles began to study what was going on here and implement and go through his own process. And over a period of time, Charles, whose leg was, one leg was shorter than the other from an early childhood accident, it began to change, and he no longer had to wear a brace. It never completely became the same. He always wore a lift, but you would never know it. You wouldn't know it by being in his experience. So Charles and Myrtle had to share these discoveries, and that is how Unity was born. That's how the legacy of love that was Myrtle Fillmore is born. The lives of both of these women, Mary and Myrtle, truly exemplify working with the law of love, which means transforming our consciousness to be in alignment with expressing the Christ presence in our own lives and being open for that to happen for others. Being open for that to happen for others. You know, most of us think of love as an emotion we can fall in and out of, and that's not the love I'm talking about. We have all these sayings, things like, you know, it's love that makes the world go around, and I'm sure we can all think of many different ones that have been used in commercials and all sorts of things. Well, why are they so powerful? They are so powerful because they have a kernel of truth, of capital T truth. You know, I posted a picture on Facebook this past week that included a quote from Julia Cameron. Some of us know who she is. She founded The Artist Way and has done a whole lot of work on living this energy of love. And this is the quote. "Love is the substance of all life. Everything is connected in love. Absolutely everything." And I think for thousands of years, most of us have misunderstood a fundamental aspect of Jesus' teachings. Because when he says love one another, he meant it. Not just love those who are on the same path that you are, or love those who might not be pushing your buttons today. Love is not conditioned upon needing to approve or be approved. That's not love. Jesus, in both Luke and Matthew, says, "Love thine enemy," and it's different in whatever version you want to read, so these might be different words than you're used to hearing. "But love thine enemy and pray for those who spitefully use or persecute you." He was very clear. What we don't always get is the rest of that quote, which is that he says, if we do this, we will be acting as true children of our Father in heaven. if we do this. He's asking us to create heaven on earth. That's what we do by being in the flow of love, and that's huge. And that's our responsibility. That's truly what we are here to do. We are being called to attune our consciousness to living in the flow of divine love, something Mary and Myrtle exemplify. We may think we have a good reason to withhold love. However, anytime we stop the flow of love anywhere, we stop it everywhere. We can't be in the flow if we've stopped it. So don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that we need to be doormats. That's not the kind of love I'm talking about. I'm not talking about love for people or situations. I'm talking about responding to the world around us from a place of love, not a place of fear or separation. Myrtle Fillmore spent most of her life trying to live from a place of love and not succeeding because she had learned to despise her body. And once she flipped that switch and let that flow of love move through her, her life was transformed and her legacy of love was born. You know, Mary had to turn off all those doubting thoughts and truly live in the flow of love in the face of a great challenge for her legacy of love to be born. So where are you resisting the flow of love? When someone says or does something that might normally offend you or upset you, do you even realize that you have a choice? It's only when we understand the law of love that we can have that realization, that it's truly our choice. And you can choose to justify whatever reaction you have, to justify being angry, justify a negative reaction. However, because you can justify it, doesn't make it right. Because it does stop the flow of love. What if instead of turning off the switch, instead of stopping the flow and thinking of that switch as a dimmer, we turn it up? We turn the light brighter. Because here's the thing, when we see darkness, it's a call for light. When we are experiencing some type of separation, some type of darkness, it's a call for light, and it's our choice whether to flip that switch or turn the light up. Because the truth is, you are never separate from love. Never. It's the truth of who you are. You just stop letting it flow through you. And the effort it requires to hold back that flow is where illness is born. It's where our problems, our perceived problems in life, are born, because they are truly trying to help us to get back into that flow, to let that move through us. So I have an assignment for you from Eric Butterworth. He suggests that if we really want to practice the law of love, that we, and take time to think about this. What do you think of as being the most difficult time for you to let love flow through you? Something that pushes your buttons. Being stuck in traffic? Waiting at the DMV? Waiting anywhere, in fact. Well, instead of seeing those situations as a challenge, what if we thought of it as a great opportunity to practice? In fact, when you find yourself anywhere in a situation that you have time on your hands, what if you took a moment, closed your eyes, got still, turned within, and really accessed that realization of love that is deep within you? Just accessed it in the moment. There's nothing you have to do to create it. It's there already. What you have to do is accept it and accept that within you there is this love. Identify with it. Feel it moving through you and open your eyes and feel it moving to the first person that you see. without judgment, being very, the observer mode without judgment, and then move to the next person, and move to the next person. Wherever you happen to be, in a period of just a few minutes, if you really remember to simply tune in to this law of love and to let it flow through you, you can make a difference. You can make a positive difference. One person can bring a new consciousness, a new feeling of the one presence into any situation. Look at Myrtle. Look at Mary. In fact, we each have a tremendous opportunity, maybe even a responsibility, to get our resistant attitudes out of the way and let this love flow. And it takes practice. And we're here to support and help each other in doing that practice. And at the moment you begin thinking, well, I can't love that, whatever that might be, that person, that action, as soon as that thought of whoever or whatever that is comes into your awareness, love yourself. Compassionately love yourself, and just know that you're no longer in that consciousness of love in that moment. Don't judge it. Don't judge it. Just be aware. Watch it, and guess what? You'll get right back into that flow. That's why Jesus says, love your enemy. It takes a great deal of effort. And the important thing to know in that process is that what you are really doing in that moment is releasing all of the attitudes or feelings that are keeping love from flowing through you. You're getting out of your own way. It takes practice. Takes a commitment. And if you are willing, you will leave a legacy of love. Happy Mother's Day. Namaste.
Just wait. just wait.
You just wait.
Wait and see. You put a little love in your heart. All you got to do is
put a little love in your heart.
You got a little bit of love. I got a little bit of love.
Our ushers to come forward. This is the time in our service where we put a little love into our finances. So I truly invite you to share of your prosperity in a way that truly comes from that place of love. Those of you who are joining us online, there is a button where you too can join in this process of truly aligning with the presence and power of God. As we hold our gifts in our hands and those online, there is a button to the right of the screen that you can reach for. So we fill these gifts with love by affirming together our affirmation of abundance that is printed in your bulletin. Together, divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. Take that into your heart. Truly bless this. Thank you, God. Amen.
Have I told you lately that I love you? Have I told you who there's no one else above you? Well, you fill my life with gladness. You help me wash away my sadness. Ease my troubles, that's what you do. The morning sun in all its glory helps me greet the day with hope and comfort too. You fill my heart with laughter. You've made me better. Ease my troubles every day. That's what you do. I know that there's a love divine. Reverend Patty told us so. Like yours and mine. And we let it shine just like the sun. When we get to the end of the day, hey, hey, let's say thank you and pray to the one. Because I like to say, because I haven't lately, just want to say I love you. I want to tell you in my heart there's nobody else above you. You fill my life with gladness. You help me put in perspective my sadness, ease my troubles, that's what you do. Every day you fill my heart with laughter. You make me wanna be better, ease my troubles, that's what you do. Take away my sadness, fill my life with gladness. Ease my troubles. Well, whether you knew it or not, that's what you do.
these gifts truly represent the bounty of God. We send them forth with wisdom, with joy, to do the work of transformation that is the mission of this congregation. And for these gifts, for this journey, we are truly grateful. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God. Amen. For the women in the congregation, as you are leaving the sanctuary today, our Women of Unity have a bookmark for you to pick up as a reminder to save the date for their fall retreat, which is deep in the planning and is a not-to-be-missed event. So do we have children out there? I invite us to sing our children in.
We are walking in the light, in the light, in the light. We are walking in the light, in the light of God.
Reminder to parents, we'd love to have your kids 8 to 18 years join us for the art event next Sunday, but I need your sign-ups today so I can figure out how many we're feeding and how much we need for art supplies. So please sign up for that. We have a special surprise for all of you. David Reed, our youth music coordinator, is going to lead the kids in a song for mothers and others. Thanks.
And sharing your gift this Mother's Day. And thank you to our adult volunteers for sharing their gifts with our children. So let's join together in affirming our prayer for protection and our peace song together. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. And the presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well.
Mm-hmm.
God's peace on earth, and it has begun with me.
And know that.